You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Skulk Lowe, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. Now, Skulk, I know for a fact you must have had the busiest time since we last spoke, because every single day there's trading updates, there's operational updates, there's results, there's all sorts of corporate announcements coming out. And I'm just looking today, actually, not that we need to speak about any of these if you don't fancy them. Curo, DRD, Sabvest, Rainbow, Chickens, Blue Label and Spur. But there's been some big ones since we last spoke. Can you sort of condense them into the good, the bad and the ugly, the ones that really stood out for you?
There was no ugly. Firstly, you know, hello, Lindsay, and hello to all the Strictly Business listeners.
Thank you.
But, I mean, there was no bad or ugly. It was just, I mean, okay, you know, DRD shareholders would most definitely argue, you know, the reaction to the actual results, you know, being down 6.4%, that's ugly, bad for my portfolio. But I mean, yeah, it's sort of patience is a virtue. I mean, I'm not a shareholder of Durban Rudder Poor D, but I think the most important thing when you look at the results, I thought it was looking good. They beat the little few expectations that we've seen on consensus, but they've beat them. They've grown. I mean, you look at their revenue increased by 14%, operating profit increased by 14%. And so in general, I thought things look good. And market just didn't like. I mean, they mentioned that the final dividend decreased to 20 cents per share from last year, 65 cents. And I think most of the shareholders and most people out there were expecting a lot more, because we know we're looking around, we look at the gold price at current levels, and I think a lot of and they mentioned that they're not going to be dividend focused. More specifically, when I say, you know, they CEO Neil Pretorius today said, well, he's they're not focused on dividends. They're going to be extremely focused in the next 3 years on capital expenditure. And they mentioned 10 billion rand. They've got a program of investing 10 billion rand, which ultimately will see the production increase dramatically, in the next few years. So I think the shareholders that was looking for a quick buck or you know, instant gratification, you know, shareholders in gold, well, let's call it the traders in gold, you know, sometimes, you know, are like that. They're not really investors in gold. They sort of trade gold. And when you've got timelines of 3 years and they're talking about, you know, life cycles and economic life cycles of another 14 years, it just do not faze the traders. They want the instant gratification. But back to the actual results, I thought it looked good. And I think I'm not an investor, but any further weakness, I might be fancying myself a nibble.
I always remember the late Clive Ruffey, the technical analyst, always talking about DRD Gold going up to 50 rand a share. I kept on waiting for it. And one day it will do, of course. I mean, let's look at South Africa at the moment, not specifically with a pair of gold spectacles on. But let's have a look. I mean, we've got a record high on the All Share Index, in rand terms anyway. You've got a CPI coming down to 4.6%, I think, from 5.2%, which is good news. A government of national unity still sort of finding its feet, but infrastructure spend looks to be on the table. There's all sorts of really nice things going on. And you're saying that there's no real bad sets of results coming out. There's no drama. And with the international markets doing very well indeed, with the S&P now less than 100 points away from all-time record highs, I mean, what could be better?
Lindsay, I mean, you're 100% right. Let's take the focus, because that's the one thing. I mean, us South Africans, we're so hard on ourselves, which is most probably a good thing. We take a loss really, really badly. Mm. But we don't really always celebrate those wins as we should be doing. And this is typically one of those situations. I mean, the South African index, more specifically the JSE, it's been outperforming most countries out there recently. You talked about the 4.6%. 4.6% inflation, expected over 5% by economists. And why is this significant? Because the governor made it very, very clear. Mr. Governor said they're not going to react. They're not going to react. They want to see the inflation rate closer or back to those 4.5% levels, which is sort of in between the 3 and 6% bands. Today it came out at 4.6%, and just for the listeners out there, the next Reserve Bank meeting will take place, and the announcement will effectively take place the September the 19th, and suddenly South Africa is looking very, very healthy. Or the probability of a rate cut on the 19th of September today increased quite a bit. So we're looking at interest rates that's about to start decreasing. We're still looking at our market that's trading at very, very low multiples, PE rate multiples. Every day you get the feedback that this government of national unity, they're starting to fix small things. The big things will take long. I mean, we've got no doubt that the big things will take a bit longer to fix. But some of these smaller things are starting to fix. Yeah. They're starting to be fixed.
And don't forget, I mean, okay, we're not the gold producer we used to be, or you're not the gold producer you used to be, but above 2,500, I mean, come on now. When we first started speaking a few years ago, who would have thought that the gold price would be above 2,500? And I know I fixate on Gordon Brown, but I have to think of it, because when I see 2,500, I think of $250 an ounce where he sold the gold. But, you know, it's been an incredible story. And it's, I don't know if people are underinvested in gold, because if they are, then they must be looking at their graphs and saying, gosh, we've missed out on this. And you know what people do, they buy at the high. So there's going to be, there's more buying coming in. I'm absolutely certain of it, Skulk.
Yeah, I'm always worried that when people, I mean, we've seen it now in the tech stocks, and we've seen it back in 2000. There's always sort of the final push where I hate using the word uninformed, but where people tend to look at, What's tech been doing? What has Nvidia been doing over the past year or 3 years? Wow, look at that return, 150%, 170%. I need to get in. I mean, FOMO, as they say, fear of missing out.
That's the one.
And I think gold will be no different. I've got no doubt in my mind. But remember, the gold's got a story for now. And you know, there's quite a few big investment houses now looking at gold at quite a bit higher levels. I don't care. For me, for the listeners out there that's focused on the JSE, when you focus on the JSE, let's call it the JSE Capswix index, which is now pretty much the main index as well, your gold exposure in the JSE is over 9%, close to 10% of the total index. So you said we're not the gold producer. Yes, we were the number one gold producer on one stage in the 80s and early 90s. Today we've dropped down to the ninth position, but still, I mean, we're the ninth largest gold producer in the world. And these type of movements in the gold price, naturally, that's another thing you can add, something that's really, really good for South Africa. And when I read Mr. Neil Pretorius, CEO of DRD Gold, telling me that they're investing 10 billion rand to try and increase their capacity, I'm giving them a few right marks, you know, from a South African point of view.
Tell me about what the shares have been doing, as the dollar price of gold has been going, not on a parabolic rise, but a good steady rise. Every dip is being bought into. Have the gold shares in South Africa anyway followed the dollar gold price?
No. I mean, and you don't have to only, I mean, this is not just a South African thing. You can add I like looking at there's two ETFs you can follow where you got the gold miners. I think the most well-known one is the Van Eck gold miners ETF, and they invest in all the largest gold mines in the world. Funny enough, AngloGold and Gold Fields make up two of the companies in the top 10. And if you just take that graph, and that graph, ETF trades in dollar terms, so
yes,
it's dollar versus dollar. If you take those two graphs and put them next to each other, you would see a massive discrepancy. Now, the reason for that is when you look at the gold mines, all in cost or all in sustainable cost, you'll see in all those circumstances that there's been quite a hefty increase in most of these circumstances. And there'll be a few reasons for that. Inflation, for gold mines, definitely a little bit higher. But most of these gold mines mention that they all in cost and all in sustainable cost should normalize a bit lower. And if the gold price stays at these current levels, the geared effect for these mines are going to be unbelievable. So long-winded way of asking you, the gold miners are lagging, and I definitely would not be selling my gold mine anytime soon.
Okay, good. So if they haven't been performing yet, so one has to say to oneself, if you're a hedge fund manager, did you say, okay, then I'm going to sell gold and buy South African gold miners, or do I just leave it alone completely? Or is the South African gold mining exposure telling us that the gold price is not going to stay where it is at around $2,500 an ounce? That's what worries me. If the gold miners aren't performing as well as maybe one would anticipate them doing, then perhaps they know that something's going to happen to the gold price. That's what's happened in the past, I think, on several occasions.
I think Mr. Market is not buying into this $2,500 per ounce euphoria. I think they're saying it's going to come down, but funny enough, they didn't buy into the 2,400. They didn't buy into 2,300. In actual fact, they didn't even buy into 2,100 mark. So somewhere along the line, there's no bell that's going to ring, but somewhere along the line, we're just going to start seeing fantastic results, and we will see re-rating in these mines, in those circumstances.
Okay, let's hope so. Just before we get into today's action, as I said in my introduction, so many results over the last week since we spoke. Have there been any ones that you've really stood out for you, either good or bad? I mean, we've had Absa and Sasol and other big companies as well. Anything that you had to sit down in your morning meeting the next day and say, avoid this, or we need to be in this one to your team?
Yeah, I think Sasol was a big talking point yesterday. We saw the reaction, and then the overreaction again today.
Yes.
So it was I think the market didn't like a few things. Naturally, they look like they're struggling, but I mean the cash flow in Sasol is just phenomenal. Few question marks why they need to go and float some bonds, or basically go further into debt when they've got such a huge cash flow. But going forward, and I think the biggest negative, very similar to the DRD story today, is they stopped their dividend this round, and I think the market expected them with this type of free cash flow to be paying quite a nice dividend. They were more prudent. They said, well, they're worried about their debt levels. They're gonna rather not pay any dividends. And for those investors that were buying this for a dividend, they fled. Yesterday they were jumping ship, and then this morning all these long-term investors that were looking at this and said, well, wait a minute, look at the free cash flow on this puppy. This thing is going to get itself out of debt automatic if it continues. Yes, they need to look at a few of these it's called departments of them that's not doing well, specifically on the US side. But if they fix those things or sell some of these, suddenly this is looking really attractive. And like I said, the rest is history. I mean, the share price today, I mean, massive, massive comeback today, up 5.4%. Yeah. You asked me what stood out. So Sasol, yes, that stood out. But I still think the banks. I mean, the banks.
Absa's numbers were very ordinary and the share price rallied 5%. What is that?
I totally agree. I mean, two things came out yesterday. So yes, I mean, they, I don't know if they actual figures in front of me, but the price of the book is trading below one time. So that's looking at them, looking extremely cheap, you know, on a historic basis. But I mean, when you look at a 13 or 14 percent, you know, ROE, you know, compared to the likes of a Standard Bank that's trading at 18.35, I mean, then you're right. I sort of looked at apps and I went like, ooh. And also it came out that Ari now mentioned that, well, they mentioned that he's going to go into early retirement. And you mentioned them, I mean, the water run on APSA after results, and today it followed up with another 2.5% run. Hmm. Standard Bank, at that, you know, results came out 6.something% the same thing. We all thought, wow, that's a big run. And it just continued running every single day. So banks looked really good. And I think.
And the CPI inflation data couldn't have done any harm because, as you say, on September the 19th, Reserve Bank meets again. Interesting timing because September the 18th is a US Federal Reserve decision on monetary policy, which may spur Lisette Kanyago, once he gets it, to say, okay, we've got to keep in step with the United States. We're going to cut as well. I would have thought.
I wouldn't bet against that, not at all. And anybody that'd like to bet against that, I would actually, you know, go all in. There's just no way. I think we now just sort of, I think the question is not how much if the U.S. will be dropping interest rate. I think it will just be, will it be 25 basis points or 50 basis points? I think I would go to the former. I think 25 basis points will be the case. And you're right. I mean, then the SARB will follow. Our inflation numbers today justify that. And I think even if they don't drop interest rates, and I'm talking about the US, I think South Africa can start pulling the trigger.
Let's hope so. Okay. Let's have a look at the currencies to start with. Dollar rand, very nice, 17.86, maybe a little bit weaker than yesterday, but it doesn't matter. British pound, 23.32 against the rand, and the euro rand is 19.87. Euro dollar, I mean, herein lies the reason for the gold price move, 111.30. On its way, that euro, on its way down, that US dollar. And I don't know, maybe it's because of the Democratic National Convention, which I've been watching religiously in the early hours of the morning, stupidly. But it looks as though Kamala Harris is going to have a very, very good chance of beating Trump. And that is going to be bullish for gold, in my opinion. That gold price now, 2507. It's down four, but I mean, holding above 2500 by the skin of its teeth. And if it consolidates between 2450 and 2500, fine, then up it goes again. Platinum, $977, up $26 an ounce. And palladium, $949, up $35 an ounce. So the power of the gearing when you get a weaker dollar is absolutely enormous. Let's have a look at the oil price. So we're getting the perfect situation for South Africa because the oil price, well below 80, Brent crude, $77.12. And West Texas, $73.09 per barrel. Both slightly weaker, but the big moves came yesterday. Natural gas prices down 2.7%. Copper up 2/3. Wheat has fallen 6%. And steel prices down 2.6%, with iron ore just clinging on to 100, according to my very, very delayed screen. S&P 500 futures, 5,636 for the September futures, as I say. 5,720 was the high earlier in the year. So we're on our way again. We're a 9-iron away from all-time record highs. Not that I play golf, of course. Do you play golf, Scott?
I was just about to ask. I absolutely understood what you meant with a 9-iron. You've got to call it a sandwich as well. But I didn't know you play golf.
I don't. I used to be a caddy at Wentworth Golf Course. And an ex-wife of mine bought me, because she's a golfer, she presumptuously bought me a set of golf clubs for my birthday. And I looked at these things and I thought, you're just trying to mold me, aren't you? You're trying to change me. I didn't play.
You never used it?
No.
Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, I went to a driving range or something and took a lesson, just to say thank you, darling. It's very nice. But anyway, I don't want to go back on that part of my life. Thank you. The US 10-year is 380, and the South African 10-year is yielding 9.31%. Guys, quick quiz question for you, Skulk. What was the 52-week high in terms of yield on the South African 10-year? And don't look it up. Very, very quick answer, please.
I don't have it in front of me. But if I can recall, it was 11, close to 12%, if I'm not mistaken.
11.26. Okay. Well, yeah, good. Yeah, well, thank you for not cheating. And what else have we got here? Bitcoin is still below 60,000, but it's okay. It's gone very quiet, actually, this one. 59,550, let's call it. But it's all over the place. Skulk, I'm going to give you my top five and bottom five on the JSE now, and you can embellish my results, or rather prices, with your own. I've got Alphamin up nearly 10%, Sasol up 5.4%, as you said earlier, Telkom a 3% winner, We Buy Cars up 2.9%, and the Absa Group 2.5% better after yesterday's really good move as well. DRD Gold down nearly 6.5%, Karoo down 5.7%, Goldfields is a 5.4% loser, and both the Investex PLC and Investex Limited down 3.5% and 3% respectively. Anything else?
Yeah, I know the Investex are ex-div cases.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So that's, and I think, you know, it's slightly on the smaller side. I think a lot of the blue telecom shareholders would say, please, you need to give us a mention. Well, they came out with a
14% higher, I think, aren't they?
They came out with a trading statement looking really, really, really good. So as you mentioned, I'll give it a mention. They had earnings per share last year of 30.48 cents per share in May 2023. Came out with a trading statement saying that's going to be between 71.88 and 73.1 cents per share. So a massive increase, 136 to 140%. So yeah, share price reacted accordingly, like you mentioned, 14.5%. But yeah, lovely. The rest you mentioned.
Yeah, because they've had a torrid time. Skulk, give us the closing JSE indices and value traded, if you would.
Will do. JSE All Share closed the day at 84,026 points, up 29 basis points. JSE Top 40 close to 76,894 points, also up 33 basis points. Resources slightly down, when we look at the industrials up 55 basis points. Financials, again, a positive day, as I mentioned earlier, 40 basis points in the green, you know, while the SA Property Index were up 0.11%. Value traded today, very, very quiet. And when I say very quiet, we didn't even get close to yesterday's levels, which was also low. I mean, yesterday we reached 17.4 billion traded. Today only... Today, only 16.7 billion value traded for today.
But it was above 20 for so many days, and I thought things were getting better, but clearly not.
No, it's only past 2 days. So you're right. The previous 4 days, they were all traded, you know, well above the 20 billion. But yesterday and today, it was just as if Mr. Market took a bit of a breather.
Okay, good. Okay, hopefully Mr. Market, as you call him, will be coming back with a vengeance quite soon. As soon as the Northern Hemisphere holidays are over, which is only about 2 weeks away, actually. Labor Day coming up on September, the first week of September, and then on we go towards the year end. Should be a fun year end as well, especially with the US election. Right, Skulk, thank you very much for your time as always. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.